Blog Talk Radio.
Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Less of me,
less of me,
and
more of you is what I need.
Show me, rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day.
I need your
love. Oh, I need you.
I want your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me.
Give up.
God. Lord, we thank you for your glory, your Shekinah glory on tonight, Father God. Lord, we enter in that we may receive on tonight. So we just want to say thank you, Lord God. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you open up the channels of our spirit so that we can receive from you, great and mighty Lord. Let that be a great pouring in on tonight. Oh, Lord, that we will operate with your grace and understanding that we have grace and mercy that's afforded to us through Christ Jesus. Amen. That we are under the new covenant of grace and mercy. And Lord, just want to say thank you, Lord. We love you. We come against every hindering spirit, every unteachable spirit, every spirit of distraction, every spirit of frustration, every spirit of anger, rage, unbelief, fighting spirit, manipulating spirit, controlling spirit. And we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for this deliverance, and we enter in with all faith receiving on tonight. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, amen. Welcome back to Wednesday Night Bible Study. We welcome you here at the Gospel Public Ministries with Senior Pastor Pastor Dorsey Manning, Pastor Tawanika Manning, and Minister on the roster is Minister Lauren Green. And welcome you on tonight. Once again, we're back here. And we just thank God for keeping us. Amen. We thank God for positioning. We thank the Holy Spirit for the leading. For we have the Holy Spirit of the living God that is guiding us and leading us, is operating on the inside of us. So we thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're talking about, we're still talking about grace, the power of grace and reckless grace. We're talking about that, you know, that grace will... ain't no control to it. Amen. Excuse me. I have the hiccups here, but I'm not going to let that stop what's going to go forth, the word to go forth here tonight. So bear with me on tonight. Amen. As we talk about, you know, having the grace, the reckless grace, grace release. Let's talk about grace that was released in the upper room. Let's make our way east of the Eden to another garden in Gethsemane. We know about the garden Eden. So let's talk about the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he goes to the cross, Jesus prays a prayer setting the stage for another God-breathed divine convergence moment in the upper room. He prays for his disciples, but he doesn't stop there. The Bible says in John 17, verse 18 to 21, it says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Amen. Again, that's John chapter 17, verse 18 through 21. Again, excuse me, I do have the hiccups here, so I'm fighting through this thing, and it shall be over in a minute. Amen. So did you catch that in this verse in John 17, verse 18 through 21? He prays for you before you were even born. Jesus, the Savior of the world, prayed for you and for me, amen, and for all who would believe in him through the word of the disciples. Why is that? The reason that is that we would all be one. In his last moments, Jesus pleads to the Father for the sake of our unity, unity that we can only find through his gift of forgiveness and grace. Amen. If we flash forward once again to the upper room, mere days after he prays this prayer, Jesus stands before his disciples who represent you, me, and all believers around the world. He breathes on them, and it says, receive the Holy Spirit. When he breathes on them the second time, Jesus, the last Adam, is restoring God's image and likeness back into his creation. But what Jesus says next is downright shocking. It's a life verse for me, and the reason that we are here even on this line today to receive this word, this message, and this teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. And we just thank God for the gift. Amen. It's a gift. Amen. It's definitely God's grace gift. Amen. And just understand that we look in the Bible in John 20:23. Amen. It reads, if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Wait a minute. Okay. We are we were doing just fine as now, but what did Jesus say? Pause for a moment and read it again. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. So when we look at this thing, look, his word soaks in. If you forgive the sins of others, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, understanding grace in itself and having this reckless grace, again, John 23, what we just read in that scripture, read it again. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. So I can imagine what you may be thinking right now. The disciples may have been thinking it back then too. You know, they said, wait a minute, Jesus. Only God has the power to forgive sin. But where do you hear that? Who told you only God has the power to forgive sin? Maybe we choose to believe it because it grants us the self-righteous luxury of continuing to create or hate our enemies. I implore you, don't throw your book across the room just yet. Amen. Don't throw your Bible. Don't throw your notepad across the room just yet. Suspend disbelief with me for just you, okay? I want us to look at it here. All the signs and all the wonders, okay? Up to this point, everything Jesus did on earth, another person also did in his name. Amen. Let's unpack a few of these signs and wonders and miracles, walking on water. Jesus did it and Peter did it. Amen. Immediately, Peter wasn't too great at it, but he did do it. He did it. We see it in Matthew chapter 4, verse 22-33. And miraculous transportation, Jesus did it and Philip did it. He was zapped from zip code to zip code. Holding a blink of an eye in order to witness, according to the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 39-40, multiplying food. Jesus did it and his disciples did it. And the result was the thousands physically and spiritually fed, according to Matthew 14 in the book of Mark, chapter 8, killing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead. Jesus gave his disciples power and authority to do all these things in his name. He said to them, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Cast out demons, freely you receive, freely give. And that's in the book of Matthew 10 and 8. We see it there. Oh, but he doesn't stop there. Let's skip ahead to John's gospel. Okay, just before the ascension. True, he said, truly, truly, in John 14, verse 12-13, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So do you see that? You've been given power and authority to do even greater things in Jesus' displays. So long as you do them in his name, he extends to all who believe in him the same power and authority he gave his disciples. This is your current reality. Your power and authority as a believer are direct outpouring of your identity in Christ fully embraced. So everything Jesus did, another person also did, except for one thing, the forgiveness of sin. And even now, grace is the one thing we still have a hard time with. We're far more comfortable declaring physical healing than extending radical grace. Amen. It's bizarre when you think about it. As spirit-filled believers, we want all the signs and all the wonders. We want the supernatural wow factor, and we think we mean it when we cry out more, Lord. But there's a but there. But releasing forgiveness through the reckless love of God is the greatest supernatural gift Jesus imparts to us. We know it's true because he saves his best gift for last. After creation, we fall. After resurrection, we are restored to our original identity. And out of that identity come power and authority in the spirit realm. Jesus already gave authority to cast out demons and diseases before his death, according to Luke 9 and 1 and Matthew 10 and 1. But it isn't until after the resurrection that he invited us to repent. Hallelujah. Repent to represent him in everything, including his grace. So if you're like most people, anything that challenges your list of enemies is uncomfortable. Lean into that refining discomfort. It hurts so good. If you stay with me, you'll you get a fresh revelation of God's character revealed in Jesus' own words. And when you do, it will change everything you thought you do about grace and forgiveness. You see, Christ alone erases your sin. All you do is choose to come into agreement with him by aligning yourself with the redemption of the cross. See, he who was delivered over because of our transgression and was raised because of our justification, according to Romans 1:25, when you withhold forgiveness, you fail to recognize the power of the cross. And hallelujah. You misrepresent Christ, and the world remains blind to the love and grace of the Father. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive to our post-Christian culture, and for good reasons. It almost always comes down to radical grace, grace that makes no sense by earthly standards, or grace we cannot possibly steward faithfully in our own strength. I have a question. Do you already have the gift? Do you believe that? You already have the gift of grace. It's already working for you, right? Even right now, in the midst of everything you're going through, that grace is already working for you, working in you. Amen. So just understand that you already have the gift of grace. The best part about grace, gift of grace, is you already have it. You already possess the power and authority to forgive sin in Jesus' name. If you're still wrestling with this truth, know that you're not alone. You see, people love to scrutinize Jesus' theology. Religious leaders in this day, they often cry blasphemy in response to God's truth revealed in Jesus' words. And while we would never presume to be so direct with Jesus, refusing to believe the truth of his word cries out in silence the very same thing. Amen. In Mark chapter 2, we find a story of a paralyzed man, and I'm going to call, let's just give him a name. Let's call him Tom, okay? So, okay. So, let's go give him a name, Tom, okay? His name isn't really Tom, but just trust me, giving him a name sounds so much nicer than calling him the paralyzed, okay? So Tom has some incredible friends who are ready to see him healed right now. So they do what anyone in Capernaum would do, and they took him to a local meeting at Peter's mother-in-law's house to see Jesus. The problem is it was so packed that they couldn't, you know, they couldn't even get to the door. So they come up with the most ridiculous ideas in scripture. So that's, let's go through the roof. And one of them says, and Tom buddies think it's brilliant. And then they tear a hole in the roof of Peter's mother-in-law's house and proceed to lower Tom down into a crowd of people to get to Jesus. Now consider the pure insanity of this moment. Amen. Just think about it. Amen. Hallelujah. For Tom himself, okay, you know, swinging and gaping hole in this in gaping hole from a gaping hole in the ceiling. Forget the Sunday school color book images of a neatly engineered operation with a room of welcoming faces. This scene is a college frat. I want you to understand this, you all. He is, and they're at Peter's mother-in-law house. They lower him down, you know. It's a bold move. It's reckless. It's desperate. But what other option does Tom friends have? Meanwhile, Tom never says a word. Maybe he was speechless from fear of falling. Maybe he didn't really want to be there. Maybe he didn't really believe Jesus could heal him. Who knows? But when Jesus sees the faith of his friends, his crazy, reckless, irresponsible friends, he says to Tom, "Son, you are forgiven." Did you read that carefully? Take a closer look. And Jesus seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Mark chapter 2, verse 5 emphasizes and added, "Meanwhile, the people in the room are having religious fit, not because of the hole in the roof, but because Jesus had the audacity to think he has the power and authority to forgive sins." He says, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" We see this in the book of Mark, chapter 2, verse 7. Sounds familiar, right? Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's where you heard it. I say, from the mouth of religious zealots and desperate to disprove Jesus' divinity and scrutinize his theology, some things never change. Whether they hear his voice firsthand or read his words on a worn parchment page, the truth of the grace Jesus imparts can be hard to accept, but Jesus would never call us to a place we couldn't follow. See, it's not in his nature to set us up for failure. See, in the scripture, Jesus most often refers to himself as Son of Man, focusing squarely on his humanness. And he insists the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, that he can only do what he sees his Father do. So what he hears his Father says in John 5:19, each and every time Jesus refers to himself as Son of Man, he's revealing the full potential of every believer who is freed from sin and surrendered to the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to suggest that Jesus, fully God, yet fully man, lived out the most normal Christian life in history. His day-to-day intimacy with God and influence upon people is meant to be an attainable model for our present reality. Jesus' response to that scrutiny in true Jesus form, which is easier, he asks to say to Tom, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick up your pallet and walk. And he says in Mark 2:8-9. So then he brings it home. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he says, Tom says, to you get up, pick up your pallet, and go home in verses 10 and 11. So Jesus releases both healing and forgiveness to Tom the paralytic, a man who never even asked for it, all in the same breath. Son, your sins are forgiven. Does he have to say, get up and walk to him to do it? Of course not. He says it to reinforce the full authority he has as Son of Man, and to demonstrate the authority we are meant to emulate in the release of grace. See, everything Jesus did, another person also did, and you are invited to do it too. God has given you a gift, hallelujah, a radical, unthinkable, supernatural grace, and you are uniquely suited to use that grace to help bring God's kingdom here and now. We talk about extending the grace here, and then we'll open up the lines for any comments or questions. And we're going to wrap up a little bit for tonight, and we'll come back here on Wednesday. Like I said, I was trying to give you not a whole lot to bog you down with, but enough that you can take and eat off of and dissect that and apply it and then share it. Amen. If you're anything like me. All right, so extending grace, it's a bold move to you all to even preach grace. It's a bold move because a lot of people are wanting to live under the law, the old covenant, but we're under the new covenant of grace, amen, grace and mercy. So, and just really having an understanding of that, hallelujah. I feel like the need to just be able to, when I was led to do this lesson, understanding and releasing grace, extending grace ourselves. And what is grace, and what really is grace? It's not what you think. It's not a thing. It's not a feeling. It's a person. Jesus Christ is the embodiment of grace. He was and is grace. And what's more, he imparted it to all believers in the upper room the night in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 24-38. Here's the big question about John chapter 20 and 23 verse, and it will change everything. Is Jesus serious? Was he joking? Was He's given us an option. We must deal with the ramifications of what it means for a human relationship if he indeed meant for us to love our enemies. If we forgive others' sin, they are forgiven. If we retain them, they are retained. Does he mean that literally or as a part of some untenable religious ideal, but does he actually mean we are meant to demonstrate grace like God does, and that if we don't, there are eternal consequences for us and for the ones we won't forgive? See, I don't know about you, but those red letter words of Jesus are the ones I really take to heart in full context and in light of how Jesus intended them. After his resurrection, Jesus speaks plainly to his disciples. No metaphors, no analogies, no room for interpretations. So, yes, Jesus is serious. God wants you to walk in his divine gift of radical grace. But God hasn't taken away your options. He won't twist your arm and make you do the righteous thing. See, walking in this radical grace is a conscious decision you get to make. It's not a feeling, not an emotion. It's a choice. Not just a choice to forgive, but also a choice to come into agreement with God about what he thinks of others. Amen. Extending grace is an opportunity to come into agreement with the redeeming love of God, who keeps no record of wrongs and commands you to love your enemies, and an opportunity that not only brings freedom to you, but also gives them the opportunity of an encounter with Jesus Christ. At first, it can feel like death. So surrender often does, but in time it becomes an outpouring of the radical grace you receive in your own life. Amen. Do you struggle to extend grace and forgiveness? Do you struggle to receive grace and forgiveness? So many believers do, and you know, I do too. And the truth is, we can't do anything in our own strength. We can't forgive in our own strength. We can't heal in our own strength. We can't cast our demons in our own strength. We can't even hold onto our faith in our own strength. So why do we think we have to strive for grace when it's already been freely given? Thankfully, God loves to use, amen, the weakness of the weakest, most unqualified people to bring about his kingdom in ways only he could be responsible for. So if you're someone who struggles with the offense or unforgiveness for others or for yourself, God is ready to liberate your disbelief through a fresh release of his radical grace. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So at this time, if you have any comments or any questions, we'll take those comments and questions at this time here and just, you know, talking about the extension of God's grace into his people, all that believe and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And now we can operate and receive the grace of God and knowing it is available to us. It is a gift from God. Amen. And you just have to believe it for yourself. But there is something for you to do. There's something for us to do, those of us that's in the body of Christ Jesus. And you have been commanded to do that, to love you one another. And when you love, you're able to forgive. Amen? And that's releasing the grace. Forgiveness is part of grace, releasing the grace to one another. Amen? Hallelujah. So if you have any questions or comments, press 1. If you're online listening, you need to call in to 845-277-9213. If you have any questions or comments on tonight, amen. Amen. We definitely thank God for the word on tonight as we continue our lesson here. And just thanking God for his provisions, amen, that we're able to receive the grace of God, amen. New mercies and new grace on the daily we receive, amen. So we thank God for the continuation of his grace and of his mercy. And understand the importance of coming into agreement with God. Grace manifested in your own life is miraculously uncomplicated. It simply means coming into agreement with God about what he thinks of others and of you. It sounds easy, right? But how do you know if you're agreeing with God? Touch your heart with these two critical questions. Is there anyone you hold an offense against? Pause and search your heart for a moment. Do you have at that person in your life whom you genuinely struggle to extend grace to? Do you have that person in your life? And 2, is there anyone God wouldn't forgive? Do you hold an offense against someone even God wouldn't hold? Would God forgive you if you were that person? Yes. You have to ask yourself that. Maybe that person came to mind immediately. Your coworker, the jerk of a coworker, your ex, or that guy who flipped you off in traffic this morning, maybe even an authority figure, a political leader came to mind. Jesus lays it out clearly in the 7th line of the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors in Matthew 6:12. So the assumption here is that you have forgiven. This raises the foundation of what it means to come into agreement with God, and it clearly displays the kind of grace he wants you to have. Amen? And we think about the enemy and false construct. We want to talk about that, but a false construct. You, that person, may be someone you consider an enemy. So if this is true, even if you never say it aloud, you are missing out on the opportunity to live out the fullness of the grace of God that he has given you. Enemy is, in fact, a false mental construct created by people carrying offense at the transgression of another. See, the earthly label gives us a perceived license to hate, a right to withhold grace, and a justification to carry offense to the death like a badge of honor. But the truth is, nobody can be your enemy without your permission. King David marvels at how the Lord prepares a table before him in the presence of his enemies in Psalm 23:5. Why would God do such a thing? It's simple. You can be living, you can be a living invitation for your enemy to realize his true identity and to become your brother. I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. According to Luke 6, chapter 27-28, this is Jesus' words. When Jesus implores us to love our enemies, he is just as serious as when he releases the authority to forgive sin in the upper room. So both concepts equally radical, piercing. I want you to understand, pierce us to the core. Pierce us to the core. It's a reckless call to unity and in oneness that simply doesn't make sense in this world. So when you walk in your true identity in Christ, you won't be able to see people as your enemies any longer, amen, because now you're operating with grace, amen. Grace abound has been given to you as well, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. So we thank our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, for all that he's done. We thank our Father that gives us, you know, grace and mercy, and that is afforded to us daily, and we live by it. So when you walk in your true identity in Christ, you won't be able to see people as enemies, but as broken beings who desperately need to encounter God, the God of grace. So when all else fails, love truly wins, for God is love. Amen. God is love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So at this time, we're going to open up the lines, like I said, for any questions or comments. At this time, we're still talking about the power of grace. And we talk about, you know, that we're talking about, you know, the reckless grace. Like, I'm going to give it no matter what. Whatever, I don't care what you do and how you do it. I'm going to give you the grace. I'm going to forgive. I want to extend myself to you. Amen. Because I have the power of grace, because grace is a person. God is grace. Amen. I know, Pastor Manning, you want to say something about the power of grace or operating with grace here? We're going to be wrapping up here shortly, but
yeah.
Amen.
Okay. All honor and glory go to God. Grace, what is that? What does that look like, you know, in this time for some show and tell? You know, when we talk about grace, we are talking about a person. We're talking about Jesus Christ. And when we talk about grace, you know, a lot of times, you know, we won't mention grace. So as a result, as we don't mention grace, then we tend not to gravitate toward grace, or we tend not to lean on him. We tend not to use him. So when I say what does that look like, grace, it literally looks like Jesus Christ, the life or the works of Jesus Christ, better the works. When we say grace, we're talking about what is produced in our life. You know, grace, you know, as we know it, is favor. It's favor that we – that's something that we didn't earn, but it's something that we got. So I'm saying someone, you know, we should look at it, you know, in an aspect of God gives us the grace, God gives us himself. So when I say practically, it literally, you know, your life is a reflection of grace. It's a reflection of Jesus Christ. I don't know if, Apostle, did you read that scripture there in John chapter 1? I think John chapter 1, where it says, full of grace, full of mercy and truth. So that's why I said, I heard you say, you know, he is a person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And here it is, St. John, he shows us here, right here. We said, in the beginning, we know that.
St. John,
you know, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among his people, and they received him not, but all that did, you know, receive him right there in that place. So when I say what does that look like when we receive Jesus Christ into our life, we receive grace. We receive his grace. We receive his favor, unmerited favor. Grace is responsible for the fruits that we produce, you know, the godliness, you know, that is produced in our life. So that's what that looks like. I heard you, Apostle, when you say, do we give grace? Well, right, when I say that Jesus Christ, you know, he is responsible for it, you know, I mean, we have to make a decision. We have to make a decision, you know, to walk in that humility,
mm-hmm.
walking in humility. You know, say if you and I, say if we were into a an argument or something or a disagreement, and we all fall into those places where we fall into a disagreement, it doesn't necessarily mean that one is right and the other one is wrong. It's just a viewish, a point of view. You know, I want you to see it my way, and you want me to see it your way. I have a different point of view. So when I say humble, you know, humble yourself, when you humble yourself, that doesn't mean that you're the weaker person.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you have made a decision to give the grace. That's what that looks like. I mean, that's just one example. You've made a decision to give the grace. The Bible teaches us that he will resist, to my God, he will resist the proud and give more grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know how powerful that is? When it's time to exhibit the grace in your life, when it's time to allow Jesus to show up, allow God to show up in your life, you know, to, you know, how else can you shine?
Mm-hmm.
How else can you be the light? You know, God is the light of man. How else can you be the light unless the one who is the light, Jesus Christ, who is full of grace, until he show up, you know, in these opportunities where, you know, you can exhibit who is the head of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we say that? You know, God is the head of my life, but when it comes time to agree, or when it comes time to surrender, or what's that word, submit, or be humble, you know, we make a decision, you know, oh, no, God, I'm not going to be humble this time. I have something to say, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to say it. That's what grace looks like. That's what grace looks like. And there are other places, you know, where we see grace, where we see favor, you know, where we see miracles, where we see healing performed. You know, grace, you know, it's he is so much more than what we can understand. But let's not waste our life just giving up and not trying to understand. Let's make a decision in our life that we're going to, you know, we're going to get to know God. We're going to get to know grace. We're going to have a relationship with him. We're going to humble ourselves and allow the grace of God to minister in us and through us, and we be that light that he has called us to be. Amen. I give it back.
Amen. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you for all that. Amen. In Jesus' name. I'm just excited about it. And it's important that we, how can I say this? Because a lot of times, we don't want to extend the grace to others. We just don't want to extend that grace that has been given to us. And freely as we have been given, freely we are to give to our brothers and sisters. Amen. I'm going to go to Ephesians here, and then we're going to wrap up a little bit. Ephesians, and I'm going to read a little something on the radical reckless grace as we're using that for a guide of study as well. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. That's the New King James Version.
And what verse is that?
That's 7 and 8.
Okay.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. So to speak of Jesus' blood was important, being the way of speaking of Christ's death. So his death points to two wonderful truths, the redemption and forgiveness. Okay, so when we look here in Scripture and have an understanding of this, now we are forgiven on the basis of the shedding of Jesus Christ's blood. So, amen. And he died as a perfect and final sacrifice. We understand that blood had to be shed, and he came as the final. There's no, not one after, but the final sacrifice. Grace is God's actually voluntarily. So it's voluntarily, and it's loving favor and given to those he saves. And we are saved, amen? We decree and declare that we are saved. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And we can't earn salvation, amen, nor do we deserve it. So no matter how much of the Bible, the word, you know, there were many in back in the days with Jesus that knew. They knew they knew the Torah down. They had it packed into it front and back. You know, they're operating with this religious spirit. But it's nothing that you can pay or degree that you can get that gets you in and that you receive salvation by those ways. It's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen. He came, and he's a finished work. He left nothing undone. Amen. So there's no need for someone else to come and to claim that they have Christ to do it. It's already been done. But will you receive the gift? This is a gift from God to us in the body of Christ, the gift of grace. A lot of us want to and want to put others under the old commandment, the old covenant, I should say, the old covenant. And trying to keep the law. And many people are trying to keep us out of having a relationship with Jesus by having us to keep the law. Amen.
Do we actually I like to read scripture, and I like to be able to you know, whatever it is that I read, you know, I have to really ask myself, am I able to do? Am I able to do? Because, you know, if you receive something and you don't know how to use it, it's just as much as, you know, you don't have it. It don't mean you don't have it, but it's, here it is, you know, you have something or that you don't know how to use. So how is it, you know, when it comes down to grace, you know, we have a hard time, you know, trying to decipher, okay, all right, is this grace or is this not grace? Okay, well, we know when we look at, you know, the life of Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, he came to serve. He came to serve. So how does that look in our lives? How does that look in our lives? So we too, we are called to serve. Mm-hmm. Who are we serving? Okay, Jesus Christ, he came to serve all mankind, to deliver them, to bless them. We talk about his works. And that's what we mean when we talk about his works. You know, so what are we to do? We are to extend the provision, or we are to extend the favor, or we are to live together as one body in a place of victory, extending grace. And that's our service. That's what Apostle Paul said over here in Romans chapter 12, I think 1 and 2. You know, he said, you know, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, this is acceptable, your reasonable service. So that's how we give grace. You know, we are God's spirit, the spirit of grace, that's living inside of a body. We are living in a body right now. So because God, you know, he came in to live inside of a body to serve, and he is grace. He is God of grace, God of forgiveness, of mercy, the God of truth. So we too are to be a reflection of that. So how is it so hard? You know, it's you know, that's very hard for us. I believe that the reason why it's hard for us to give grace, because we want to identify with the old self, the old sinful man, or the old sinful woman, You know, it's easy to identify with the old. You do this to me, and this is what I'm going to do to you. See, that's how we act. You know, that was our behavior before we got saved. And we lived a life. We just lived a life of, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to say what I want to say. Well, when I say, you know, why is it so hard for us to produce the fruits of grace? Do you know that the age of grace is coming to an end? Do you know? Have we realized that, you know, we can just look at what's going on in the world right now? You know, it's already been prophesied in the Bible, you know, the end of days, you know, what we will see. We just witnessed a pandemic that was prophesied in the Bible, you know, a pandemic. You know, we witness all different types of intensities when it comes to hurricanes and volcanoes erupted and tsunamis and things. There's more murder and death. Here it is that people that, you know, you were on board for Christ, and then now they don't believe anymore. They just gave up. All this is in the Bible. So we need to understand this, because if we don't have an understanding of grace, of who he is, mm-hmm. then that means that nobody knows the time of day when the time comes, when this age of grace is over. And there's coming a time where, you know, when the age of grace is going to be. We read the book of Revelation. You know, he tells you that. Not even just in the book of Revelation. Read throughout the New Testament. When Jesus tells about, you know, what you think he mean when he say, I will come again. You think he just coming again just for two or three and then everything's going to be the same? No. We are to live a life that's upright and pleasing unto God, because this is who he had created us to be. He didn't come to save us for us to be the same, just like we used to be. He didn't. And denying, I'm going to make sure I say this part, and denying grace. When you deny grace, don't we understand, you know, that, all right, you are a person who has a choice. You can make a choice in which direction you're going to go, or what are you going to do when life presents itself. You make a decision on what you're going to do. But that's all right. But you need to understand, whatever decision that you make based on what you know and who you believe, you know, there's consequences for every single thing. There's consequences for everything. So it's not that, okay, I guess you can say you have the option to give grace. Yeah, but when it comes down to the saints, you know, this agreement that we have entered into, oh, man, that's almost like saying, okay, God, I've agreed to agree with you on earth until you come again. But when it comes down, you know, to agree with him, we don't agree with him. Are we really representing the kingdom of God? Or are we representing the kingdom of Satan? Find yourself representing the kingdom of Satan when the end comes. Hey, when it's over, it's over. See, now there's no more time for grace. So now then they have to deal with the consequences. And I'm not saying that, you know, for anybody to live in fear. I'm saying that, you know, for us to wake up. For us to wake up. Stop pretending as if, you know, we live a life of grace. You know, don't do that. You know, be honest, you know, with yourself. If you don't know grace, you know, then get to know grace. If you don't know how, then it needs to come a point in your life where there's to come an end of self, and then the beginning are the new works of Jesus Christ, who you receive into your life as your everything, to be able to live life, but not just any kind of life, to live a godly life. That's grace. I believe that's the place where we need to really start. That's the place where we need to begin to live in, because without that, we can go back and forth all day long. We can read scripture all day long. We can go back and forth all day long, but we miss the mark don't miss the mark when it comes time to listen to God, to listen to Christ, to listen to grace. And then you make a decision, well, okay, well, I know what you say, God. Yeah, I mean, we hear it loud and clear, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Maybe next time. That is disobedient. That is disobedient. You know, that's unbelief. And don't you know that that place of unbelief, that's where a person goes to hell. Belief. Belief, which is the only sin that was not dealt with on the cross, because you have to believe in order to believe God. You don't believe God. All right? So that's that place right here. That's that place right here. When the time comes, when the age of grace or this life that we're living, when it's over, when we see him coming, mm-hmm. you know, riding on the cloud, you know, hey, now it's time. Mm. It's time for the saints to be caught up with him. And don't you be the one, you know, that missed that first ride. Mm. Don't be that one. Because you just might not, you know, that's a whole other story. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. I just pray that we don't just hear the word, that we actually become the word. We allow it to
become one. That's right.
To become, you know, because whether you're preaching it, teaching it, or minister to your brother, or your sister, your coworker, or whatever it is, that we actually be that so that they can see. Amen. That we extend that grace so then they will see it being displayed. And that's what we've been called to do. That's definitely what we've been called to do. And Jesus called his disciples, and he gave them a command. Amen. So we're going to wrap up here on tonight. Again, we thank you all for being with us, those who could, those who are alive, and those who will hear this this broadcast at another time. Amen. And we pray it will do just as it did on tonight, as we have delivered the word live on tonight, and that you'll be able to receive it. Amen. The gift of grace. Amen. Receiving God, receiving Jesus Christ, and allowing it to work in you. Amen. A good work.
I feel we should extend the opportunity for someone who's never prayed the prayer of salvation, who have never received grace. Can you pray this prayer for me?
Oh, can you tell for me, please?
Pray the prayer of salvation.
Yeah.
You know, I'm feeling inclined.
Amen.
You know, this is such a important place in our lives. You know, if you have never received grace, if you have never experienced, which we all have experienced, but maybe you didn't know it, but if you have never prayed the prayer of salvation, and you're listening now online, or you know you may be here, you know, on the line with us, if you've never prayed the prayer of salvation, you know, this is a milestone. I mean, it's more than a milestone. This is where you begin to live.
Mm-hmm.
See, right now, you know, we're dying. If you're not saved, you need to understand that. You know, if you don't understand that, then,
mm-hmm.
hey, I mean, you will. But this is that place where God gives us the opportunity to enter into eternal life right here in this age of grace.
Mm-hmm.
You could enter into eternity right now. So if you have not prayed the prayer of salvation, I want to extend the opportunity for you to come over to God's side. Will you lift up your hands right now, whoever you are, and pray this prayer with me?
Yes.
Father God, I realize that I am not saved. I realize that I am a sinner. I realize, Father, that, you know, after hearing this message today about grace, about you, and I had just been living a life how I wanted to. But today, Father, I repent of all my sins. And I thank you that you have forgiven me for all my sins in the name of Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross and that you defeated Satan right there. You know, your finished work. So when you said it is finished, Satan had to give up the keys to death and the grave.
My Lord.
I believe, Father God, that you went to hell. You know, you went to hell for me, for the whole world.
Jesus.
I believe that you stayed there 3 days and three nights, and I believe that the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit, that saved my mama, that saved my grandparents, that's the Spirit that resurrected, that raised you from the dead. I believe that. Mm-hmm. I confess that in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. in your name. I believe right now that you're sitting on the right hand of God the Father right now, interceding for me. So I ask you right now to come into my life and to be my Lord and Savior. I'm asking you right now to save me. And I believe in my heart right now, and I confess it with my mouth, that today that I receive your grace and I am saved. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you have prayed that prayer, then Apostle Talonik and I, what we want to say to you is, welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to grace. Welcome to eternity. Welcome to eternity. Remember this day. I mean, if you're listening in or if you're online right now, remember this day, today, that God saved you today. And be that witness, you know, be that body that he flows through. Yeah, I know that, you know, some old thinking and some old habits, those things, they still are going to linger around. But come to Bible study. Yes, Lord. Hear the word of God. Read the word of God. Because once you be delivered, once you get saved, do you know that God entered on the inside of you? You have become one in spirit. God have entered on the inside of you and did just what you asked him to do. You said to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. He's coming to your life right now to do a new work. Some of the work will be quick. Some of it will be quick. Some of your old want-tos, they go away instantly. They go away because you realize that, you know, there's something just changed, like something just changed on the inside of you. Some of them, you know, it's going to take some time because, you know, we learn something. It's hard for a person to unlearn something, you know. So we're going to practice the word of God. We are going to have a relationship, not just to get saved, but to actually have a relationship with grace. And God, he's ready to grow you. Stronger and stronger and stronger every single day. Every single day. We plant the word. Some plant the word. Some water. But God gives the increase. So expect that increase into your life. Expect that increase. 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 Increase in wisdom. Increase in knowledge. Increase in faith. Increase in all the provision that God has for you. Amen. Amen. God bless you, and may God keep every single one of you. I'm going to hand it back over to Apostle Tawanika. Now, this has been such a great lesson about Jesus Christ, about grace. And my prayer is that every single one, you know, that we spend some time, we take some time to do everything else. I pray to God that we start taking time out from doing everything else and spending that time getting to know him. Get into know Jesus. Get into his word. Come to church. Come to Bible study. Call pastor. Call apostle when you have questions about some things that you're not sure of. Don't hang around the same places and go the same thing and do the same thing. And you can do something different and let the Holy Spirit lead you. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this word that you have preached tonight in the mind and out of the mouth of your dear apostle. We thank you for every single soul that you have placed us in front of to lead them, to guide them. We pray, Father God, that you pour wisdom in them, that you continue to pour wisdom in us. Father God, we thank you, you know, for allowing your grace to flow through us, yes, in us and all about us. We plead your blood, Christ Jesus, over us and every single thing that is concerning us. We are your body. We are the body of Christ. Amen. And we are victorious because of you, Christ Jesus. And we just want to say thank you. we say all is well with us, all is well with our home and every single thing that is concerning us in Jesus' name. And it's in your name, Lord Jesus, that we pray with love in our heart, and the whole church do say amen, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. May God keep you. Enjoy your night, if it's night where you are, or whatever time it is, where you know, definitely enjoy it. Remember that Satan has already been defeated. Jesus Christ is Lord. We love you. We can never love you more than God loves you. Amen, amen again.
Amen, hallelujah.
Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me live.